Can you hear that Rocky Mountain water as it thunders coming down to wash you away? You can't hold back the rising tide, and you can't stop the chain that's rolling down the track. You can't stop the chain that's rolling down the track.
Welcome to Southpaws, episode 385. That's so furry.
I'll take that so furry for 200. Saverin.
I'm Saverin.
I'm Fuzzwolf.
And I'm Shiva.
And we are back again after another exciting week here in Hellworld. Population us and you.
It's also hotter than fuck.
Yep, it's summer in Texas, and it's now cresting over 100 degrees Fahrenheit on most days. It's hot, it sucks. Like, my dog hates it.
Hot is back. Back again. Hot is back. Talk your friends.
Talk your friends, yeah, because that helps. So it's been another exciting week. We've all consumed media. We have all looked at video games. And we have a couple topics for you this week. And we've gotten some feedback, too. It's been a decent-ish week for topics of discussion.
Yeah.
So did y'all do anything exciting this week?
I've been on call all week. I have gone from work to home. And hope my phone doesn't go off that, oh God, shit's on fire.
So, to listeners, Shiva may suddenly vanish for a period of time and then come back if...
That's because the server is on fire and it's my job to fix it.
Yep.
So, and putting that out there now, just in case there's a blip in the podcast and no Shiva temporarily for however long it takes.
And you just got back from an adventure, Fuzz.
I did. As I'd mentioned previously, I flew out to Florida, to the second worst city in Florida, to see my sister and her husband and my niece. I told her I am obligated to say this. It's in like the uncle user agreement that you sign when you become an uncle. But I looked at my niece and said, look how big you've grown. Because, you know, you have to, right? Because it's been nearly 6 months since I've seen her. So, yeah, she's grown a bit. Babies grow pretty fucking quick.
Yeah, it's kind of eerie.
So that's cool. And I sent you guys a couple pictures of me holding her. She's really cute. She was really kind of fussy. This trip more so than last time because she's been teething.
Yeah, I was gonna say it's about that time.
It's about that time, you know, and like she'd been like having teething rings and stuff for a while now, but while I was there, her and my brother-in-law have this thing where she'll bite on his nose. And it's just this cute thing. And she did that this weekend and he went out. Where he hadn't normally done it, because normally it's just gum. And my sister finally got a chance to like look in her mouth, because my niece hates when anyone messes with her mouth, which is going to be a real pain soon, because my sister has to start brushing her gums and brushing her teeth and everything before she's able to do that herself. But anyway, she's starting to get the white at the tip of the gum, so there's like... at least one tooth, maybe more, is about to burst forth.
He's slowly becoming a human instead of a weird grub.
Yes. But we had an extremely chill weekend. It was just hanging out with the family, watching TV. They, with their tax return, they bought a Coleman inflatable hot tub. It's designed to be used on like camping trips. Blow it up for a few hours and have a hot tub while you're camping somewhere. But they blew it up and they just keep it up with the cover on it on their patio. They got a nice little patio set too. So like we were chilling in the hot tub at least one night and like that was nice. Like I hadn't been in a hot tub in ages. So no big events to report or anything as far as that goes. Like it was a super chill weekend. The flight there and back, I totally lucked out. I had a middle seat empty, both flights. So it was like, sweet, me and the other person on the row are not crammed with a third person. So kind of relax a little, you know. And I read my book and enjoyed the flights, and it's all good, man.
Yeah, most exciting thing, like, I saw my family briefly this week. My sister is flying off on adventure for a couple months, so I've had early birthday lunch and early Father's Day lunch with her before she disappears for a couple months. So I got to go out there, have some legit Tex-Mex. That was the same evening we also had Chewy's, so we got to have slightly more corporate but still legit Tex-Mex.
Yeah, for both
lunch and dinner.
I'm starting to really like Chewy's. Like, I didn't really enjoy it the first time, and then I discovered their chicken fajitas. And Tieran also really likes chicken fajitas.
And they have chicken fajitas for two.
We've gone there a couple times now and just ordered chicken fajitas for two, and they bring out all this stuff, and he and I will get through like three or four fajitas each, and it'll be a real good meal.
Yeah,
the fajitas are really good. I'm picky, but I really like their enchiladas. Mm. They have really good enchiladas.
Yeah, and they're like a Texas-based chain.
I am not that big of a fan of Tex-Mex. I have some very narrow, like, I like street tacos and I like fajitas. Mm-hmm. And that's about it for me in Mexican food. I'm fine most of the time without it. But Chewy's, I actually really like pretty much everything. So most of the time, if folks like, well, let's go out to Tex-Mex, I'll be like, can we go somewhere else, please? If they say Chewy's, okay. I'll go there.
Have you ever been to Mina's?
No.
Mina's is pretty good.
It's just south of Trinity Mills off Marsh in the little shopping center with the big gym.
That place is always crowded. That, like, Mina's is always hopping, so they got to be good.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. They're pretty good. But you know what? Their service is really fast. Like, their staff fucking hustles because that restaurant is, like, always busy. But you generally get in and out of there in a pretty decent amount of time.
Yeah, I mean, just seeing how busy they are is, for a little place, is usually a pretty good sign of they're good.
Yep.
So, brief tangent. I just remembered something funny that happened to me last week, and I pointed this out to Tieran, and he laughed. So, I was in the bedroom, right? And Tieran's little portable speaker was in front of our clock radio. So, I looked over. I couldn't see the time. My phone was across the room on the charger, and I was like, and then, you know what I forgot? Oh, I wear a watch now. Like, it's not just for keeping track of my exercise and closing my rings. Like, this thing tells the time, too.
Wow.
So I looked at my wrist, and I was like, oh, that's what time it is. I noticed because I just did it again, because I was about to be like, what time is it? And I was like, oh, wait, I have a watch.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, seriously, I've not worn a watch, oh, my God, in like 20 years, probably by early to mid-20s. When the watch I was given a watch as a birthday present when I was like 12, and I wore it till I was in my 20s. And like by that point, all the text and all the buttons had worn off because it was one of those old Timex sport watches.
Mm-hmm.
So that fucking thing lasted forever. Timex, they're a real good brand. At least they were in the late 80s when I got that watch. So this is the first watch I've had. Since then, I'm learning all new things. Like, this is the first time I've flown with a watch. Like, the TSA guy is, you know how they walk around the area when you're going through security? And they're like, you know, take out any electronics larger than a cell phone. You know, take out your CPAP, take off your shoes. And when he was done talking, I was like, excuse me, do I have to take off my watch? And he's like, no, watches and jewelry stay on. I was like, because jewelry is that it can get lost in the x-ray machine.
Oh.
I keep my wedding ring on.
That's the funny thing is I used to wear watches all the time. And then before I moved to Texas, I worked at a commissary where it was in Bloomington, Indiana. I worked for a commissary for a pizza chain. There's like five different stores and a restaurant. And we made all their pizza dough. We made their sauce. We made their breadsticks. We did all of that. And that led to me getting a mild case of carpal tunnel by the time I was done there after like 2.5 years. And so I get like tinglies in my arms and down to my fingertips. And I found that wearing a watch kicked that off. Like the pressure on my, like right here on my wrist.
Uh-huh.
So I couldn't wear a watch. But over time, like, that has completely vanished. But because I couldn't wear a watch for so many years, I got out of the habit of it.
Yeah. And once you get out of the habit.
Well, then I got a cell phone. And I just,
yeah,
I checked
that's
the time.
What happened to me. Around the time my watch broke, I got a cell phone. And I was like, well, I can use this to check time in the meantime until I buy a new watch. And I just never bought a new watch until about the Apple Watch. I had a early job-related, not really injury, but issue. My very first job when I worked at Wendy's, I got this horrible skin condition on my hands, from my right around my cuticles and the tops of my fingers started breaking out. And it turned out it was because of all the constant hand washing. Because I was a cashier and we were always understaffed. So I would frequently, you know, cashiers always get the drinks, or at least it did then. But, like, you're not supposed to handle food because money is disgusting.
Grody.
Yeah. So I would often have to take the cash, make the drink, wash my hands, make the burger, grab the fries. So it was like washing my hands fucking constantly.
Well, when I worked in McDonald's, I frequently worked drive-through because I was fast and everything else like that. Well, so there's usually two drive-through stations. There's the first one you come to, usually when you pay. Then you go up and pick up your food. Well, usually if you were working the back drive-through, which is usually where I was, you also wash dishes, which was okay most of the time, except in the wintertime. So I'd be like scrubbing pots and pans and everything else, and then drive-through would go off and I'd go take an order. Well, New Hampshire is fucking cold out. So I would be, like, going from warm, fuzzy water to open the window and it's winter out.
Yeah.
And my hands got so fucking chapped from that. They started, like, cracking on the knuckles and just, you know, putting on hand lotion doesn't do you any good because you're going to go back and stick your hands in
and wash it all off.
Yeah. But, oh, my hands got so damaged in the wintertime from doing that.
My Wendy's was built with only one window, so I ended up being the drive-through person that did everything. Like, and that happens to drive-through people now too, when they go down to one window at night. But shortly after I stopped working there, they fucking remodeled that Wendy's and put a second window in, and I was so pissed. I was like, why did you have this other window when I worked here like 2 months ago? God damn it.
Because the dishwasher also ran back drive-through, we kept it open most of the time, right up until the end of the night where they really, if it had been steady earlier on and I was behind on dishes, then they would finally close it so I could finish everything off. But I didn't mind that because I got left alone. I could listen to, you know, the music that we had going back there. And I got left alone. I just got to wash the dishes and not have to deal with people except for 30 seconds at a drive-through.
We actually had a kitchen crew at mine. So I only had to wash dishes when one of the guys called in or it was the end of the night. But when it's the end of the night, you're scrubbing down all your stations and everything anyway.
And that was just it. We let the kitchen crew like close down the kitchen. And that way, you know, they just did that and let the one back person handle the back stuff just so that the kitchen crew, because we went down to like one back drive-through / dishwasher, one kitchen person, and then like maybe one or two people up front depending on how busy it was, and then a manager.
Yeah, we had like a 6-person crew and like sometimes 3 people would call in, so like 2 employees and a manager were, one night we were fucking doing everything. It was absolutely ridiculous, but we got to eat all the free extra food at the end of the night, and the manager was like, fuck it, take what you want.
Yeah.
Because normally they save the burgers to make chili the next day.
Did not know that.
Yep.
That's how I did that back when I worked at KFC briefly.
Mm-hmm.
They were like, yes, whatever, take it home. So I gained a lot of weight.
When you say briefly, how long did you
work? This is when I was in Washington. So
yeah,
I was there only like 6 months, and I only worked there at the KFC for 3.
I worked at McDonald's at different stores for about 4.5 years.
Oh, man.
Well, I worked at, they opened one in my small town, so I went to work there. Then when I went, so I had a year off from high school, and they opened that just after I graduated high school. So I did a full year there, and then I went to college, and the same people owned both stores. So I ended up just going, switching to the one down in my college town. Worked there for a couple months, and then one day, I didn't even quit. I just stopped showing up because it started to be so hard to do with my classes. They never seemed to begrudge me. And then when I left college, I walked up to the old hometown one and said, hey, you want me back? They said, sure, come back, come in tomorrow. Okay. Then we owned a third store, which was kind of between the two. So the college town was probably about 50 miles away. It took about an hour to get there through the back roads. At this place, the third store was actually in a lovely little ski town, which I loved driving the drive to it. It was great. It was very peaceful. Got to drive through some really pretty country to drive, to get there. So the commute was not a problem. And then ski town, I loved the people there. So they needed coverage over there. So they sent a couple of us over to help with the busy season. And I just stayed. So I worked there until I left New Hampshire. Then when I moved to Indiana, well, I'd been working for McDonald's for I don't know how many, I think like 2 years at that point. So when I moved out to Bloomington, I walked up to the McDonald's closest to the house and said, hey, I've been working at McDonald's for I don't know how many years. You want a person? They're like, sure. And I stayed there for like 2 more years just because I had a job. But all in all, I racked up 4 years working for McDonald's.
I did 8 months at Wendy's and then bailed for retail, which is its own separate hell. I occasionally enjoy reading that retail comic and going, oh my god, this is also true.
Well, I knew this, I knew I was getting into it. Retail was hell as well. It was just a different hell, and I knew this one, so
yeah,
why not? After that, I went to work for the commissary for a little bit more money for like a year and a half, and then Texas, and did tech support, and I haven't left tech support since.
So on the note of jobs and employment, that'll lead me into one of the things I wanted to mention tonight, was a headline that I just saw on the way over here. Boeing, the airplane company, they set up a new production facility a few years ago in South Carolina because South Carolina is like one of the hardest states to unionize in, and they were tired of dealing with unions in their home state of Washington. Well, today, fuck them, because the Boeing technicians voted to unionize. They voted by like 110-63 was the vote. So, haha, now Boeing has to deal with unionized workers in South Carolina, too. So,
you realize how much they had to piss people off in order to get that to actually go through?
Yeah.
When they're starting to rumble about unions, mm-hmm. like the companies get very unfriendly to that.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And the fact that they set up in a state specifically because it was very anti-union and still managed to piss people off enough to unionize, it's pretty amazing. So good for you, South Carolina Boeing Techs.
There was another article, speaking of unionization.
Yes.
Game Workers Unite. They're working on getting unions working in the gaming industry.
Mm-hmm.
And this particularly was brought up because Microsoft just laid off like a dozen various support staff in favor of letting hardcore Xbox fanboy volunteers do the job.
I'm like, 12... you're fucking Microsoft. Why do you need volunteers?
12 people lost their job so that some fanboys can do whatever job it was. It's just wild. So it's been interesting to see unionization efforts basically kick off all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there was a couple full-page ads in major newspapers from United Auto Workers, I think it was, talking about how unionization is good, actually, and mm-hmm. if you work in an industry, you need to basically unionized because there was a Supreme Court decision that came down that was basically okayed forced arbitration clauses on employees, basically preventing them from collectively bargaining for like things like wage theft and the like.
Mm-hmm.
And basically this is because they've stole a fucking seat on the Supreme Court And now we've got this dumb shit, which should have been Merrick Garland's seat. And so basically we're going to have this bad split that's going to fuck over workers and generally everybody that's not a 1% or white male going forward for a little while.
Yeah.
And so that's a thing that needs to be addressed. It's like, yeah, you either need to unionize or get fucked. And this is not the fun type.
Yeah. And let's remember that Labor, and this is usually a discussion we have around Labor Day, but Labor Day is celebrating the labor unions and the labor movement. And the labor movement is the reason that we have an 8-hour day instead of a 16-hour day and 5 days a week instead of 7. And for a lot of people, paid vacation,
overtime,
benefits, paid overtime, any benefit you have at your job is because of labor unions' work in the past. And I think it was Sarah mentioned earlier that back in the day, the way labor disputes were solved was basically going to the CEO's house and beating the shit out of him. So, I mean, we don't really want to go back to that.
We could.
I mean, so like, it's either that or collective bargaining. You know, your choice, CEOs.
Pretty much. Also, Fuzz, I noticed earlier you took an allergy pill. Do you have any strong feelings about the Dutch? Or perhaps wasps?
I know bees are our friends and wasps are assholes. I haven't had any problems with the Dutch. I have some friends from that part of the world.
So. Okay, good. You know where I'm pivoting this to, right? No.
No.
Darn it. So, Roseanne Barr.
Yeah, I know about the Roseanne issue. I don't know where wasps and the Dutch are.
Ah, Fuzz.
You're talking about wasps as in the white Anglo-Saxon Protestant.
No, Roseanne tried to excuse her thing. Oh, she was tweeting on Ambien.
Right, and the fucking drug company that makes Ambien threw her under the bus and put out a statement that was like, our products do not cause racism as a side effect. So I thought Ambien was the sleep drug.
It is a sleep drug.
What does that have to do with wasps?
People were making jokes about it, like, oh man, I took a Benadryl and before I pass out, I'm going to express some strong feelings about thing.
Right.
And
right.
It's like, oh man, I took my vitamins. Better tell you how I feel about dog. You know.
I did see one statement that was like, so is I was taking Ambien the new heated gaming moment?
Yeah. I mean, heated gaming moments still happen left and right, but taking Ambien, well, because they do say that you could like tweet something and not know it, but it's super unlikely. Just don't try to blame your racist bullshit on taking our drug.
Unless you have Tourette's, which is when your brain actually specifically says the most offensive thing you can think of, there's no drug that's going to make you do that. I mean, and people that say I was drunk at the time, you know, there's the old saying, you know, drunken speech is sober thoughts, yeah. You know? So if you get drunk and you're a raving racist, well, you were always a racist. You didn't have that mental barrier, you know, keeping the bad shit in.
Yeah, but that was actually kind of interesting because the sucky thing about it is that with the cancellation of the show, a bunch of people lose their jobs.
Yeah,
in the production side,
including their brand new head writer, who tweeted the day that it got canceled, "I'm the new head writer on Roseanne," and someone replied, "Didn't you just hear that Roseanne just got canceled?" And he's like, "What?" And then the next tweet's like, what the shit? I updated my profile for this?
Yeah.
And he's like this 25-year-old guy that just got what would normally be a great job, being head writer on a hit sitcom.
I mean, it could have been someone making a joke, but either way, it's like, there are people that lost their jobs. Well, they just probably got reassigned. But it is like, this show just got canceled, and it's not just Roseanne Barr getting affected by this. It's John Goodman and everything else.
Mm-hmm.
The other people that were on the show, but they had a number of people.
Yeah, like the people working on the show, you're right. They'll probably get reassigned to work on other shows on the network, because there's always new shows coming up and old shows being canceled. The actors, however, well, they all got to go audition for different parts and stuff like that, you know?
Yeah. There was people was like, well, no, what you could do is you could just be like, pretend like you just lock her in the basement and have everything happen without her. Hey, son, it's your turn to go feed mom. She's getting ornery in the basement again. Startling animal noise.
Actually, my sister texted me a rumor that she heard was she had actually been watching this new season of Roseanne. And apparently a plot point is that Roseanne was about to have surgery on her foot or her leg or something like that. So there was a rumor, apparently, that Roseanne is the character is basically going to die on the table. And next season will be like Dan as single father and, you know, and how the family is dealing with it.
Which is funny because it's kind of the reverse of the last season of Roseanne initially.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. It flips the whole Dan died thing on its head. So.
Yeah. Speaking of other TV, but this is more positive, Bucktown.
His streak lasted 7 days, and I put the amount that he got in the show chat.
$164,721.
All right. So way to go, fucking Bucktown. And I saw him tweet that, like, well, maybe I could finally get back to a couple of furry cons that I've missed going to. Because I don't think he's been to a con in, like, a long time. Because I certainly haven't seen him at a con in a while. So
yeah, but he did a really good job, and it was great to see him succeed.
Mm-hmm. You know, a
good example of free excellence in the public eye and doing his little paw thing.
Yes,
In other furry excellence news, Sonic Fox keeps winning shit. He beat the number one player in Japan at Combo Breaker this past weekend.
And he wasn't... I saw the tweet from someone interested in the Japanese gaming competitions be like, someone needs to take down this Kimono bastard. Kimono being the, or kimono being the Japanese word for basically furry.
Yeah.
I think it translates as like beast people or something like
Pretty
that.
Pretty much. So. And it was funny because like he was wearing his head for most of the competition, but he took it off during the last, like, the final grand final, because he's like, no, this is serious mode. But then he immediately put it back on after he finished celebrating, and when he accepted his prize, they gave it to him within fucking Percy.
Yeah, is that the gif I've seen where they hang the medal off of his muzzle?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because there was
the guy tries to get it over his head, and totally the fursuit head is way too big for the medal. And Sonic points to his muzzle, and the official puts it around his muzzle.
And then the prior event, like, they put it over an ear.
Yeah, yeah.
So I just think that's hilarious.
And see some of these hardcore people being like, this is so disrespectful.
And the people that are all like, I'm going to fucking put you in your place and take you out. And he's just like, lol, no.
Yeah. Like, I'm sorry, he's just beat, like, the best gamers in the world. What the fuck have you got, you know?
Yeah, he came in second on two of the competitions and won the third. So, I mean, he's super, super good. And And it was also cute because he was wearing his fursuit in the first, second, third thing. So, like, in the two, apparently his fursuit has, like, movable eyelids. So he could make his fursuit head look sad while he's standing next to the people in on the two where he came in second, but in the third he's like in the middle with the happy eyes, happy eyebrows.
Oh my god, I didn't know that. That's funny as hell.
It's so cool. It's like, hey, here's somebody who hasn't had a heated gaming moment.
Yeah.
Please don't milkshake duck on a Sonic Fox.
I know. You know, he's a queer black furry, so hopefully that will mean he won't have any heated gaming moments.
Yeah.
Unless it's like Eat the Rich or something
That's
like that.
That's fine.
I'm going to pivot onto another positive furries in the media thing.
Yep.
So the episode of Lucifer, which is a show I haven't watched but I've heard of, aired recently. Now, a couple months ago... the producers of Lucifer were looking for furries in the SoCal area where the show's filmed, and several people volunteered, including the guy that handles the dealer's den for Further Confusion and some of his friends. So the episode aired. They have really good looking fursuits in it because they are actually real fursuiters.
Yeah.
And I haven't seen the episode myself, but I've seen a lot of fan reaction to it. And apparently it was a fairly positive portrayal and it did not do what CSI did. It wasn't really for sensationalism or anything. I did see a clip of like, there is a scene where two fursuiters are fighting. And one of them is the perp, and I guess one of them is like a cop or something like that. So like they pull the head off at the end, and it's like, we got you.
Yeah. Nice. Yeah, I saw people's reactions to it, and they weren't mad, so that's a good thing. Shoot, what else? I had
another furry media crossover. We wanted to shout out Culturally Effed and Tempe Okun got a new segment on that show where he will be interviewing people. And he interviewed Ben Diskin, who is the voice of Heida the Hyena in Agrisuco.
And he's also going to be interviewing the voice actor for Finico.
Yes.
Voice actress.
And he also interviewed Retsuko's singing voice, is the guy that does the metal scream singing. And I actually listened to they released a clip of that where the guy was talking about, like, don't just start fucking screaming and think you can do this because you will ruin your voice. There's an art and it's a skill and you have to practice. You have to do vocal warm-ups and there's like a whole thing to be able to sing like that. And it was quite interesting listening to him and like kind of showing like where, you know, it comes from, like deep in your chest and, you know, but that's very cool. So, you know, they're a Culturally Effed as a YouTube channel and they have a Twitter account. I guess Saverin, maybe you can Google their links and put them in the show notes.
Yeah, I retweeted it. I'll put it in the show notes.
So I think that's really interesting that we have like people that are like working in the animation industry that are like, sure, we'll talk to furries.
Yeah.
And this is really quite cool because like way back in the past, 100 years ago, I don't remember, a long time ago, there was somebody that was in the animation industry, I believe, who was invited as guest of honor at a furry con, and he was all set up to come, but then he heard what kind of con it was. And he absolutely hated furries, or furries had a really bad reputation at the time. And he pulled out at like practically the last minute because he found out it was a furry con. And now this was like 15, 20 years ago. So like that's night and day, like how much our fandom has grown and how we've become just part of the culture at this point, you know, and now we're starting to get like a somewhat positive reputation. You know, people see us as weird but harmless. And I'm actually pretty okay with that. And then they find out like how generous the furry community is and, you know, with the charity and helping each other out. And so, yeah, I think the general media reputation of the fandom is gotten really positive.
Well, at Anthrocon last year, they had one of the pony VAs show up, and he had a good time.
Lee Takar,
yeah.
Yeah.
He does other voice stuff too, but he was on Pony, and yeah, I talked with his agent about that afterward, and he was like, oh, it was a great time. I could totally do other cons of that genre. I'm like, cool.
Was that, is he under Red?
Yeah, he's under Red.
Okay, so the same agent that you dealt with for a lot of your Nightmare Nights guests.
All of my Nightmare Nights guests.
All of your Nightmare Nights guests. So you had a working relationship with this agent, so you were able to get an honest opinion how the...
He was telling us timelines and shit, like, well in advance.
Yeah, yeah.
So we would know how to long-term plan.
Right.
But...
I'm really happy to hear that he had a good time, and, you know, hopefully nobody was creepy. So,
but yeah, he's talked to Ben Diskin, he's talking to Caitlin Galt, who is Finico's VA, and Caitlin is another one of those... has been in a lot of things. Let me look at her filmography, because she's been Fate Apocrypha, Fire Emblem Warriors. Oh, she was in Little Witch Academia in 9 episodes. A bunch of other stuff. But she's been an anime voice actress. She's worked in some games, it looks like. But that's really cool, because, you know, they're not super well-known,
mm-hmm.
but they're actors and actresses who are totally friendly to the furries. And like with Ben Diskin, like he got exposed to the furries and their enjoyment of Haida and was not scared away, which is nice.
Yeah, and he was like, I looked up his name and I was a little nervous, but it's all these comments about what a good yini is. And he was so happy about that the character had been positively received. Wags. Yes. Hashtag wags. Another thing I wanted to mention, speaking of furries doing well for themselves, is Jen Lee, who I have previously mentioned. She was a storyboard and artist and designer on BoJack Horseman.
Yeah.
She is now writing something for Cartoon Network, which doesn't say what on her Twitter bio, so I'm assuming that it's something she can't talk about yet because it's coming up.
It'll probably be announced at San Diego Comic-Con.
I don't know if I said, she did the comic Garbage Night, which I really enjoyed. It has a very distinctive style. Her art style is really cool. It's not what you'd like typically think of as the kind of anthro animals that are appreciated in the fandom. It's a very different comic cartoon style. I think it is cool as hell myself. Anyway, the note I was going to say on that is there is this British clothing label that has a store in London, and I am fighting to remember their name right now, but basically they've worked with her in the past, and they've basically done a line of clothing designs based on her her art and with her characters. So now you can, and this is like high-end shit. This is like a t-shirt for £35 kind of thing, you know? But yeah, it's this super high-end, like, London designer. They're called Drop Dead. They're at Drop Dead UK on Twitter. There's all kinds of links on there that you can go and go to their website and check out their pieces with this artist's work on it. They're at dropdead.co is their web address. And she's Repog Host, REPOGHOST on Twitter. And that's the name that her clothing collection is under. So if you go to their website, look for Repog Host, and you'll see these pretty cool, kind of hip looking hoodies and t-shirts with basically anthro art on it.
Cool.
So this is like a super big deal, and I'm really happy for her. Her shit is really cool.
Yeah, and so now we can actually pivot a little bit. I got a chance to look over that FF Collective, the Fashion First Collective magazine that they put out.
Yep, I brought my copy over tonight. Yeah. Give us your take, Severn.
I think it's really cool. Like, it's really neat to see furries in just regular everyday-ass clothing. I mean, not it's fashionable clothing, and they're all looking good. I mean, it's like, be it fursuiters in their partials or regular furries, like the people who are furries looking good in clothing, and then art of characters being fashionable. It was, you know, a little bit different from the usual fare.
Yeah.
And it looked really cool. And like, they only did a run of 250, and I'm sure they sold out.
Yeah, it was on sale at BLFC. I asked Tieran to pick up a copy for me. It's $25, so it wasn't bad at all. I don't know if there's any left or if they're going to do another run or whatever. I labeled volume one, so I kind of assumed that they'll probably do a volume two.
I would hope so, because it seemed really cool.
But if I recall correctly, their Twitter handle is FF Collective.
I have so many things I need to put in the show notes this week.
Yeah, I know. Well, luckily you edit the show, so you can like make yourself a notepad doc while you're editing. And
I mean, I listen to the show all the way through at minimum, so I'll make sure to
write it all down. Yeah,
yeah.
But yeah, I thought that was really cool because it focuses not just on anthro art, which, you know, so much of our media is about, but it also gives the photographers in the fandom a chance to shine as well, because there's a lot of really great photography, whether it's the suits partials or the out of suit furries that are modeling various items of clothing. And there's a list in the back, just like you would get if you had like a model and it would say, oh, they're wearing this type of watch and this type of brand of pants and stuff like that. Even on the drawings, they have that listed out. So everything that the even the drawn characters are wearing is actually like real clothing that you can buy. And it's got Art Decade is in it, Brayburn, J.D. LeClade, who does the Ask the Werewolves.
Yeah, I noticed. Comic. I saw a piece in there that I'm like, that's totally their style, and it was.
Yep. So it's got, there's like something like 50 artists in it. Or
it's a nice like piece of work. And then pivoting very slightly, speaking of art of fashion and furries, there's a Kickstarter going right now called Best in Show by the artist Liz.
I want to back that. You need to remind me.
I backed it at like the top available tier. Mm-hmm. So it was like $140. But that gets you like the main book, the AD book, and all the extraneous like digital goods, plus like a poster print. But this is an artist anthology featuring a bunch of... It's funny because a lot of them are pony artists that pivoted to furry.
Mm-hmm.
But it is a all dog girls doing cute dog girl things. So there is a clean version, and then there is an, call it their Afterbark edition, which is the adult one. It's cute. And it's currently super funded. It's at 156%, $15,695 of $10,000, with 31 days to go. So it's super funded. They just passed the hardcover book threshold.
Stretch goal, yeah.
And that's the last like main one. Then they added one at $25,000, which is like it's a big poster of all the characters in the book.
You're like, if by some miracle we get to $25,000, we'll draw this massive poster.
Yeah, I mean, it's could happen, but they're at least past their initial goal. And this one features, let me scroll down a little bit, artists. It has Hinsa, Buxby, Cherry, Cake, Rishi, Ashi, Foof, Slugbox, Avante92, Coffee Chicken, Spazio Kaneko, Hobbs Meerkat, Three Mangoes, Knight, Jabin, AWD, Lizombie, and Suzubine. And then, of course, like you can get the digital pledging at the folio for 15 or the deluxe that has like both of them for 20. You can get both books for 55. Then, of course, there's like the limited stuff, which is largely gone at this point. But again, it's a cool thing. It's, you know, independent artists working as a team to get an art book out there, kind of like the Fashion First Collective thing. And I'm like, hell yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, things like, what was it, Offbeater don't exist anymore. So they have to...
Oh, that's right. They shut down. Yeah.
Because, oh no, porn. Prudish-ass motherfuckers. The payment processor is not the company.
Yeah.
So it's cool to see artists working together to put out an art book like that.
Yeah. There's a lot of cool projects going on in furry.
Yeah. And it's great to see because, you know, the fandom is still chugging along and doing good. So shifting ever so slightly, but still furry related. So we saw an article just today that SoFurry has updated their AUP or is going to be updating their AUP to limit like cub porn in the art side of things.
Now, it was already banned with any human art because like
they don't want Lolicon.
Ink Bunny's whole thing is they don't allow any human art at all. But SoFurry allowed some human art, but they did have that rule that no underage human art engaged in adult activities. And they've now expanded that to be no underage characters, human or otherwise, engaged in adult activity. And they have a statement on their website, which Saverin can link in the show notes. This is going to be my whole thing tonight. It's going to be bing! List that in the show notes. Their statement says it's due to legal reasons, partially due to some laws in the United States, but, you know, a lot of times laws in the United States have a way of affecting other areas of the world, and this is one of those cases, because SoFurry is actually based overseas, but they're going ahead and putting this rule into place so that they don't fall afoul of any legal issues. So.
Yeah, and there's some dumbasses on the Twitter like, I read that and promptly left Sofuri. It's one thing to ban it over financial reasons, but, quote, the law says so is a bunch of hooey, and in my opinion reeks of a rushed excuse. I never thought I'd dislike any admin more than I dislike Dragonair, but this changes that big time. Yeah, fuck what the law says, man. It's the payment processors you gotta worry about,
that's apparently. Something a fucking kid would write that has no concept of what running a company, a website, a convention, like, entails, and how much you do have to play nice with law enforcement, and
especially in the country where, oh wow, and their pinned tweet is like defending Lolicon and shit, so that's great.
Mm-hmm.
They're quality person.
Yeah, I was browsing Twitter one day. You know how it's sort of like Wikipedia in a way, like you'll click the profile of someone who replied to something, and then, and anyway, long story short, I found myself at this profile that like listed all their furry stuff, and then in the middle of it just taxation is theft, and I was like, oh well, you're clearly a useless person.
Well, that was like the other day. Or at
very least an idiot.
I sent you a screenshot of a profile of this guy that I just said to you was just absolutely cursed. Let me find it real quick.
Yeah, it was a screen cap of a brony's Twitter account.
Yeah, and the profile stated, an eternal defender of logic, science, reason, anime, video games, and ponies. Now with 100% less politics. And, of course, the whole reason I saw them is they were having some bad takes on politics and whatnot. But it's just like, man, it does kind of suck that, like, any one of these things individually, fine. But when you combine them into a profile like that, it just basically is Red Flag City. You know, it's fucking Red Square on, you know, Russia Independence Day, you know.
Or yeah, China. Like, I really hate that some of these terms that used to be neutral to positive are now, like, coded words for I'm a giant asshole. Like believer in science is currently a dog whistle for there are only two genders and I'm transphobic. You know, yeah. As opposed to just I believe in science and climate change is real.
Yeah.
Or when you see skeptic, it's like, yeah, I used to like follow a lot of people in the skeptic community and stuff like that. But apparently nowadays, being an atheist means you're an asshole on Twitter. And I'm like, no, that's not, no. You know, just because I don't believe in the Christian God, but apparently there's a lot of atheists. Heavy
correlation between it.
Yeah, a lot of atheists have crossed over with like the men's rights activists community and other in the quote unquote manosphere, which is about the dumbest fucking term I've ever heard, but is now a thing.
Yeah, or logic and reason. They're being logical and neutral in their thoughts, and they're more often than not, like,
It's making me think of that comic where the guy has the big creepy face, where he's like, fascism is a legitimate ideology, let me in so I can discuss it with you.
Don't you want to debate me? No.
Hashtag sea lion. Speaking of sea lion, I'm actually really amused that sea lion is actually, I believe it was actually in Wikipedia now. The verb the sea verb. Lioning.
What is a sea lion? And I'm back. Servers are put out.
Yay.
So sea lioning comes from a, there's a webcomic called Wondermark, which is a webcomic that's drawn in like a ye olde fashioned kind of style.
Like woodcuts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think I know the one you're talking about.
Yeah, where like there's two ladies, they're eating at a restaurant, and one of them just happens to say, I hate sea lions. And her friend is like, oh, no, don't say that. You'll get them over here. And a sea lion shows up and is like, excuse me, I heard what you said. And, you know, I want to discuss it. And like, the sea lion keeps coming back like 5 minutes later at her house, following her around. And it's like, no, I just want to debate your, have a legitimate debate about your beliefs. And it became a shorthand for people being like dishonest debating tactics online. Mm-hmm.
Who don't ever shut up.
Right. So now sea lioning has become a verb. And I'm like, part of it is like, that's kind of cool for the artist of Wondermark that like he created something to be an amusement that like people have latched onto is it's become like a term in the culture.
Yeah. And he did the comic in 2014 and there is a shirt that says, go away, sea lions. Like that you can purchase from their store.
Oh man, I kind of want that shirt.
So that was basically that whole furry segment. Yeah. So welcome back, Shiva.
We've had a lovely conversation, and on that note, good night.
I heard some of it from the other room.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Somebody forgot to turn on our test environment.
Oops.
After they did a release this afternoon, and finally, someone who'd been waiting to do some deep night testing got tired of waiting for it to come back on again.
We're going
to
do it on the prod box.
Because the test environment goes up and down all day long. It's not unusual for it to be tank for a while because they're
trying to... environment?
Yeah, because they're writing new code and it doesn't always go smoothly. So it's not unusual for it to be tanked. And it's been down since 3 o'clock, 3:30 this afternoon, which is, you know, long, but stuff goes wrong.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, around 9 o'clock, they're like, guys, is this supposed to be down? So it turns out it looks like somebody forgot to turn it back on again.
Whoops.
Or at least start up all the apps that run on it. So, yeah.
This is why I'm so glad I don't admin my own server for Planet anymore. Because, like, you know,
I would... This is why I have a job.
Well, that's great for you. For me, I mean, my passion is going to be editing and typesetting and selling books.
Mm-hmm. And making it work.
I would get like Twitter DMs or ads saying, hey, the website's down. Like, and I would get those first thing in the morning when I wake up. And then before I leave for work, I'm like, fuck, now I got to log into the server and figure out what the hell broke. And if I can't figure out what the hell broke, which is common because I'm not a trained server admin, you know, then I fucking put a trouble ticket into the host and rush off late to work. So thank fuck I'm not doing that anymore. Someone like you is doing that for me. And hey, I'm a job creator.
Yeah, there you go.
By one tiny website, but yeah.
Yep. So... But to go back onto the, like, SoFurry thing, the actual statement is really short. It's like, SoFurry is updating the AUP with regards to permissible content. We used to forbid realistic depictions of human underage characters, especially in explicit situations. This is changing to the following. Artwork containing depictions of child characters, human or otherwise, placed in sexual situations are not allowed. All submissions that have child characters depicted should fall under the all-ages content level. This change pertains artwork first and foremost. Photography is already covered by the AUP, and no photos of underage people are permitted. Stories are not subject to any specific change, though we reserve the right to refuse hosting any story that we deem damaging to the site. The reason for this alteration is a changed legal landscape, not necessarily by changes of U.S. law, but by how it's interpreted and acted upon. This change has been gradual over the last few years, and while we firmly believe in artistic freedom and user choice to decide what they want to see and not see, with SF being the first furry site to introduce site-wide personal tag block lists, we have to balance with the need to comply with this evolving interpretation of the law. Users have until July 1st, 2018, yada, yada, yada. Privacy policy is being updated as well, because, of course.
So does this only have to do with adult situations, or, like, any?
It looks like adult situations.
Yeah, basically, don't draw your character fucking furry children.
They're not saying no cub art, they're saying no cub porn.
Yeah.
No cub porn, no loli, or whatever other...
Whatever euphemism you wish to have.
Because loli's just girls, right?
Yeah, it's like those, that's
human. I think it's Yuma is the
boy.
Shota. I think Shota.
Okay, yeah. So yeah, none of that either.
Yeah, but those are human characters, so they're not allowed anyway. So basically, they're just updating their shit. And
so don't take the 310 from Yuma.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Shifting back a little bit.
I feel like we're a show that has a manual transmission because we're like, now we're going to go over here and
well,
talk about
at
this.
Least so far, this show, we've all had like, okay, the next topic we touch on at least is tangentially related to the prior topics.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we shift from furry, like TV to Roseanne to furry excellence and yada yada.
Mm-hmm. Well, Ambien causes racism.
Yeah. Because that was the thing. That. Like, I asked Fuzz, like, I saw you took some antihistamines earlier. Do you have any strong feelings about the Dutch? And he didn't understand what I was going to
say. Yeah, because I didn't really put Ambien. I didn't know you were opening it up to other medication.
Other medication causes this kind of racism.
Yeah, it's like.
I took that Claritin. Oh, I hate the Dutch and their funny wooden shoes.
And their bicycles. Hash.
And their all those
dikes
and the seawalls.
And goddammit, their tulips and windmills. And this is mostly funny because my brother-in-law is Dutch.
Yeah. But no, I don't. I looked at him with confusion. It's like, I have friends that are Dutch, so what? What are you talking about?
Yeah. So the next little thing, before we like discuss like media or whatever and check if we have any emails, talking about cops at Pride.
Ah, yes. So this was a hot button issue that came up on Twitter in the last few days. It has been a hot button issue before, but it's just come back on the radar again recently.
Because it's Pride coming up on Pride Month.
Because it's coming up on Pride Month, and there's a lot of Pride parades. And there have been several photos of, like, the police cars that are going to be working Pride, like, decaling their cars with, like, rainbows and shit like that. And a lot of people take offense to that because the police force has been one of the biggest obstacles to gay rights. Like, the original, like, Stonewall. Start of gay rights was Stonewall, when cops raided the Stonewall Inn in New York, and a brick was thrown at the cops, and a full-blown riot started. And that was not the first time it happened, or the last time. Like, cops all over the country have a long history of raiding gay bars. And, like, the only thing that has slowed that down now is some of the court decisions that are like, gay sex isn't illegal anymore. Yeah, but if it was illegal again tomorrow, you can bet there would be some cops bashing skulls and gay bars would be driven underground again.
Yeah.
So a lot of people have a problem with that. So there's a couple of different takes on this. Like, I don't have a problem with police presence there as crowd control. Because really, if there was no cops at all and there was a pride parade, and then you get some fucking skinheads and some neo-Nazis coming in there and start trying to, like, literally bash the gay community in the parade, that would be very bad. So
It's not even that. I mean, people get sunstroke. People get overly drunk. They kind of act as first line when you have some kind of, whatever the emergency is, whether it's someone throwing a fist, someone fainting, they're usually in there controlling, organizing before the EMTs and such get there. You know, anytime you have any large crowd of people, just somebody around to direct traffic, make sure that nobody gets sick, nobody gets hurt, nobody trips, falls, you know.
Yeah, but to me, there's like a big difference between a police presence handling crowd control and emergency situations as opposed to police like marching in the parade or decorating their cars with rainbows as if they've always been such a big supporter of the queer community. Like, that I don't really dig. And there's been a couple of really good threads on Twitter that kind of break that down. I retweeted one from, I think, Andreas Wolf. So, Savard, you should link to that, because I linked it in the show chat.
And
I'm playing a game tonight where, like, I'm going to try to think of as many things that I have to be like, Savard, put that link in the show notes. Because I've already got about six of them.
I read that, and I do get what they're saying. But, and they're basically, like, cops enforce laws, and laws are like, and also the societal mores. And it's true, cops do enforce laws. But that's their job. And I say this, and sometimes they enforce some laws more enthusiastically than others. And sometimes they use law as an excuse to enact their own personal prejudices. But by that same token, they kind of have to enforce the law because it's their job. They can't just pick and choose what laws they say, yeah, this one, we're going to enforce this one and we're going to ignore that one.
It's like they do all the time.
But they're not supposed to.
Yeah, like, I don't entirely agree with that. Like, if you had a progressive, inclusive police department and it was legal for them to go and raid a gay bar, they don't have to do that. They can choose to pick up speeders or, you know, go keep an eye on things in another part of town, stand guard at a movie theater on a Saturday night, which Ajax was surprised that there were cops at the movie theater because we went to see Deadpool 2 on the Saturday of opening weekend. And I was like, yeah, dude, that's really common at movie theaters.
But a lot of times those are off-duty cops
they're picking up. Almost always they're off-duty cops.
And they're picking up extra hours.
Yeah.
Doing whatever, looking for jumpers, looking for...
I mean, the thing is, like, in this particular case, is, like, them marching in Pride. But, like, when we had Lupe Valdez as the local sheriff, obviously as Latina lesbian, you know, she was kind of welcomed to be there, and apparently she was all right for the DPD when it came to, like, dealing with the gay community and whatnot. That doesn't mean that the Dallas cops are off the hook, but at least in that particular case, Lupe Valdez, as a member of the queer community, and also a cop, was, like, a guest and, like, rode in a float. And, like, there is, I'm pretty sure, like, a gay cop fraternity, whatever, in Dallas. But I also totally understand why there'd be people less inclined in plenty of other jurisdictions and other cities, like in New York, you know, why they would be somewhat less inclined to have, you know, NYPD marching in Pride in New York City when, you know, that was where Stonewall went down.
Yeah. I can also say, look at what the current climate is. It might be a case by case area. Look at what the current climate is. If a particular city is, like, still raiding gay clubs, causing problems to the gay community, then slapping rainbows on it and saying, hey, we're cool for 1 month out of the year or one parade, that's dodgy as fuck.
Yeah.
But if it's something where they've repaired their relationships, they no longer, you know, overall the department's tone towards the gay community has improved, and you might have one-off bad cops... where, yeah, they hassle people. Yeah, they do this, they do that. That's one thing. You got to not only look at historic, you got to look at what are they doing now.
Yeah.
Have they improved what they're doing? Okay. Then, yeah, sure. But if it's still a problematic area where they are still targeting gays, where they are still raiding nightclubs, where they are still, you know, taking any opportunity to harass and bash the local community, and it's not just a couple of bad seeds, but it's systematic issues, then yeah, they need to keep their asses away from Pride. But you have to kind of make that a call on current policies, how they're behaving, have they reformed, have they addressed what, you know, times have changed since Stonewall, and they still also continue to change. And if you turn around and you tell them you're not fucking welcome, I mean, that also sets a very combative tone to, you know, hey, you guys have gotten better. It's not perfect yet, but hey, let's kind of mend bridges, but you know?
Like, here locally, like, I think Dallas is getting better by the gay community. I mean, we had Lupe Valdez as sheriff. Our new sheriff is an African-American woman, so I hope that maybe she can steer the DPD in the right direction towards Black Lives Matter and how they deal with local Black citizens. But in contrast, just a few years ago, and I can't remember if it was on the 40th or the 45th anniversary of Stonewall, in Fort Worth, the Fort Worth Police Department raided a gay bar and they sent several people to the hospital.
One of which got, like, severe brain injuries.
Yeah, and that was...
smashed his head into the fucking wall.
That was either in 09 or 2014. I can't remember if it was the 40th or the 45th anniversary of Stonewall. But that's something that Saverin can look up and link in the show notes.
Add one to the counter.
So, yeah, I'm just saying, you gotta also, stuff has changed since 09 alone. I mean, we've got gay marriage.
But I'm just thinking, that gay man with brain damage in Fort Worth probably would not be thrilled to see Fort Worth PD cars emblazoned with Pride stickers showing up at the Pride March there.
They're probably, and it nuts, but if the Fort Worth has changed their tune and they're more in tune with the times, I mean, you got to take that into account as well.
It's a thorny issue. I see what you're saying. I don't entirely agree with it, but that's okay.
Well, you also have to keep in mind, I come from a family of cops, and I've said this in the past. My grandfather, my grandmother, my uncle, I've got heavy law enforcement, like, links. So
that doesn't mean you have to defend them.
No, I'm just saying that I've heard both sides of the story. I don't agree with every one of them, but I'm just saying that I've got a slightly skewed perspective on things. And I acknowledge that, but
all I'll say is you don't hear people saying fuck the fire department.
Yeah.
And people only want to fuck paramedics as part of a, you know, scene.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Yeah. Fuck paramedics.
Yeah.
Sexy.
I don't know.
Sexy, orderly, sexy.
That actually, EMTs, EMS, paramedics, the medical system in general, a lot of trans people do say fuck them.
Oh, yeah. I mean, we're going to go that route.
I'm just saying that, I don't know. I haven't heard anything about fire departments because they're usually just, you know, hey, something is on fire, throw water on it.
Unless the fire department is actually out setting fires, which has actually totally happened, where, like, bored volunteer firemen go and set fires so they have something to do.
Well, and sometimes that's from people who have volunteered their stuff and it gets out of control, too.
Yeah, and they usually have, like, often fire departments in bigger cities, at least, will have a testing ground where they will set fires as a training for new firemen.
And I think it has been a couple of incidents of where, like, gay clubs and such have caught on fire, and then they've been a little slow to pick it up. Like,
hey, because they're flaming doesn't mean they're on. Okay.
Like, there's a gay bar in New Orleans that had basically the fire department let it burn with people inside of it and were slow to respond. And they caught a lot of flack for it, so.
I should say so. When was that? Do you know? Is that relatively recent? Or?
No, that was like back in.
That's a back in the day.
I think that's 70s, early 80s when that happened.
That was a really shitty time to be gay.
But it was another really bad incident where basically I think somebody walked in and threw a fire. Basically, someone got thrown out, if I remember the story right. Came back with a Molotov, pitched it in, and the whole place just went up, and then there's some allegations thrown to the fire department of just not stepping up fast enough because of who they were. So, yeah, it's happened, but it's not as, I mean, unless the fire department comes and, like you said, lights it on fire and then watches it burn without doing anything, it's not as easy to point fingers to say, hey, it's your fault.
Do you have another topic, Saverin? Even if it's a hard shift, it's more light. Just to break this up.
Yeah, so let me stop and shave real quick. Let me stop and save real quick.
So do you need shaving cream? I can get you a razor.
I need to trim up down there. It's getting a little brambly. Be right back. So now that we've shaved the Fennec, I look like one of those horrible goblin cats.
Just with even bigger ears.
Exactly. And less wrinkly skin. Still very pink, though. Anyway, so yeah, we're going to shift towards the media talk, as in, like, what
he screamed the whole time. And I don't mean during the shaving, I mean during the podcast, because that's just what Fennecs do.
This last weekend, because it was a 3-day weekend, Panther recently picked up the Hobbit films on iTunes, and it was like 3 films for $15 or whatever.
Are these extended versions?
This is the extended ass edition.
I've only seen one. I've never seen 2 and 3.
I've seen 1 and 2, but I didn't bother with seeing the third one.
Well, the third movie is titled The Battle of the Five Armies, and as you would expect, is nothing but battles between 5 different armies.
And that's basically what I didn't like about The Two Towers. Like, it back in the Lord of the Rings trilogy, it was like all battles, and it it kind of bored me a little after a while.
Yeah. So Panther's a big fan of the Lord of the Rings movies. We have like physical editions of the Super Collector Extended Edition original films.
Mm-hmm.
And now we have the Super Extended Editions of the Hobbit films in digital. We also have the other three in digital. So yes, if we wanted to spend like 21 hours in a day, we could watch the entire 6-movie extended edition thing and I would just drink myself to death or something in the process.
I watched one and it was good, but it felt like it should have gone farther. And I couldn't see how they could stretch the rest of the story off over 2 movies. So I was kind of like, okay.
Like,
they did stuff that wasn't just in the Silmarillion and the Hobbit. They actually wrote some brand new scenes that were meant to like fill gaps for the characters from the Lord of the Rings movies.
Yeah.
Some of the characters aren't even in the Hobbit.
Yeah, like... I think the scene...
Gandalf. I'm not sure how much he's in it.
Well, I think the scene with, like, Galadriel and, like, the two elves, Saruman and Gandalf, having a fight in a ruined castle versus the Ringwraiths. I don't know if that was in the book. And mm-hmm. then you got to see Galadriel do her scary blue lady thing, like she does in the first film.
Fellowship, mm-hmm. yeah.
Fellowship. I mean, they're fine, but yeah, they really stretch that shit out.
Mm-hmm. Like, I felt it could have been... It would either be one really long movie.
The Hobbit's only 165 pages.
Mm-hmm.
They make this big fucking deal about Smaug in the second film. And in the third film, 12 minutes in, Smaug's fucking dead. Like, they get through the destruction of Lake Town super fucking fast on scale because they gotta get into the 2 hours of fucking combat and battling that exists.
I think what happened was Peter Jackson was like, I want to make a Hobbit movie. And the studio was like, well, the last trilogy made a fortune, so why don't you make 3 Hobbit movies? And
yeah.
Yeah, you know, that. And then he was like, well, fuck, let's go mine everything Tolkien ever wrote and yeah. see what we can do.
Guillermo del Toro also worked on that.
Oh, cool.
Which is interesting. But it was... Siri activated on my iPhone, and I'll check that for
you. You get right on that, Siri.
Siri got alerted somehow. They were all right, but also just tiring in a way. I mean, we spread it out over 3 days.
Yeah.
Like, we mixed it in with watching some of the new Legend of Tomorrow, mm-hmm. some of the new... We watched a couple episodes of the new Arrow season that's on Netflix. We finally started watching Expanse because now we have a lead time of like 7-8 episodes available. Mm-hmm. So we watched like 2 at a time.
You can catch up.
Yeah. And it continues to be extremely good.
It is. Yeah. It's very good. And I'm super happy that it's been renewed for a 4th season with Amazon.
Yeah. I've also kind of come to the conclusion that the Space Marine gal is like the space archetype version of my skunk character, Rafa. Mm-hmm. So I'm like... So I was thinking, like, how do I want her to look as a character? And I'm like, I like her.
Oh, okay. Because
she's already, like, I have other, like, character design ideas for, like, the fantasy version of the character. I'm like, how should I make this character? I have these ideas. And then I was, like, seeing her walking around in her, like, connection suit for the power armor.
Mm-hmm.
Then I'm like, there. That's totally that
character. See, I was thinking, like, Samus is who she reminds me of.
Yeah, and totally is.
Her all-encompassing battle armor and kicking ass.
Yeah, she has the battle armor, but then she has, like, the connection suit, essentially.
What's a connection
suit? The jumpsuit that she wears underneath the armor.
Oh, okay.
That allows her to, like, connect and control to it.
Yes, yes, right.
So, yeah, totally, that's very much like Samus
mm-hmm.
and her unibody suit.
You guys should read the book. She's great in the books.
Guess what, Saverin? I made a video game reference.
You did, and it was right. Good job, Buzz.
Yay, Morph Ball acquired.
Yep.
Which is about the only thing she can't do in The Expanse.
Yep. But, like, she has, like, she has energy bars and shit. She's, like, straight up a video game character almost. And, like, when she had her squad with her, there's the scene when she's on, like, what was Ganymede, and everybody's getting fucked up.
Yeah.
Like, they had like relative health bars of like her squad status, and when she's gotten fucked up at the end of that,
yeah,
like everyone's is red and hers is like beep 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 beep.
Oh, when she's lying there and her faceplate's cracked and
yeah, she's got fucked up. But yeah, she's really fucking cool, and she's like a primary character for the current season, which is nice.
I love Amos in that one, though. I keep seeing him and think there's something about his face and everything else. He looks like the dude from fucking Arrow.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's something about his face where there's a similarity that just makes me think of the guy. I can never remember his name, who plays Arrow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The guy who plays Green Arrow, but we know who he is, but I don't remember his name.
Saverin, why don't you look that up and
put that in the show notes?
Yeah.
Oh, that's going to be this week's theme, is actually to put it in the show notes.
Episode 354, put it in the show notes.
So, relating back to balls, they did announce a couple more Pokemon games. There is a new Switch remake of Yellow called Pokemon Let's Go Pikachu and Pokemon Let's Go Eevee. And they're casual RPG light versions of Pokemon, those games.
All I know about this is I saw a picture of Eevee wearing a hat and it was the cutest thing.
Oh yeah, totally. It lets you put costumes on your Pikachu and or Eevee and or, I guess, other Pokemon. So there was also this image where the trainer was riding on an Onix. So the character is riding on Onix,
so
and
Brock?
She was wearing a hat. No, it was just like...
I know. It's
just... So she was the hat. She was wearing a hat. She had her Eevee on her head, and the Eevee had a hat. So it was like four hats. So that's really cute. People are like, this is not a mainline game. And that's right. It's not a mainline game. The mainline game's coming out late next year, but they were doing like some initial preliminary like Pokemon Light RPG announcements. Then it also has like integration with Pokemon Go.
Mm-hmm.
They're like adding a normal type evolution.
Ah.
So they're adding another Eevee. So it's like 10 different evolutions at this point. So I guess this one's going to be like a giant version of a regular Eevee.
A giant Eevee? That sounds adorable.
Yeah, it's like instead of it being like fire, electric, water, fairy, whatever.
It's Hug.
It's just big and fluffy. It's like a giant Pomeranian version.
That sounds adorable.
Oh no, it's the Norm V. Ah, Norm V, get out. Oh no.
Then the other Pokemon thing that happened was those giant ass Exeggutor.
Yeah.
Am I saying that right?
Yeah, Exeggutor, the giant palm tree versions.
Yeah.
So they're adding in the Alolan forms of a number of Gen 1 Pokemon that only appeared in Generation 7.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's going to be a million years, if never, before they're added to the Gen 7 Pokemon, like proper get added to Pokemon Go. But since there's versions of Gen 1 Pokemon, Exeggutor got this ridiculous, like, Californian palm tree version that they, like, released on the day they did all the Pokemon announcements. And so you've been getting these ridiculous ass palm tree Exeggutors everywhere.
I love that you caught one and it didn't even fit on your iPhone screen. It was so tall.
So also fun fact, when you put one in a gym, like I went and got my car inspected today and I was going to go get it re-registered, but I didn't have the right paperwork with me. So I just had to go home and do it online.
Mm-hmm.
But I decided to go do a quick drive-through of Addison Circle and hit Pokestops.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a gym that was my color, and I threw a Exeggutor into the gym. And because it's so fucking tall, like, the game zooms out slightly. So there was, like, a Wailord and this was, like, super zoomed out. But when the Pokemon is in the gym screen, the little bounding box that shows where the Pokemon is, like, it shows your Pokemon, its little 3D model, because it's so tall, it cuts the head off. So they didn't quite plan quite well for their Exeggutors.
That's okay.
But and also when you have it as the buddy, it's just like the torso, so it's like brown and like three lines. So that's been kind of the Pokemon stuff. There's lots of excitement among the Pokemon people, and there's been people like drawing, you know, art and characters. Another cool thing, another fun thing that came out today, the original demo for Pokemon Gold got found. Like a demo cartridge from Space World 1999.
Wow.
Space World was Nintendo's trade show in Japan. And people got it and ripped it out, like ripped all the sprites and stuff from it. And like there was actually a lot of changes made And also a bunch of Pokemon that showed up in later generations that were initially in the game but were not added.
Hmm.
So like Glaceon and Leafeon are in there apparently, but not added in the game. And then like the legendary dogs, Raikou, Suicune, and the other one, had very different, very deviant art looking designs that got redone before it was released. So it's really cool to see like, hey, here's a bunch of Pokemon that either never got added or were added later in like slightly different forms. And then there's some that are just like, there was one that was like a voodoo doll with a giant nail that was a ghost type. There was like Girafarig, which is the giraffe that has like the little ball, spiky ball tail. It initially was a push-em-a-pulley, so it was like a double-ended like cat dog, except it was double horse, one cute version, one scary version. So like, it's really cool. I'll add that to the show notes, Fuzz.
You do that.
You beat me to it. Ah.
These show notes are going to be super long. But that's been kind of it.
You've been playing Destiny some, too.
About Destiny, what really sucks is that Bungie made it near impossible for you to stream the game.
Is that why you don't see it streamed as much as others?
So there's a thing that on their website, like, you can't... Game Capture does not work with XSplit or OBS, which are basically the standard for game streaming. You can only use Window Capture, and you can only use NVIDIA ShadowPlay or AMD... their version of ShadowPlay, which is basically on-card capture software, if the game is full screen only, except every time I've tried to do that with my card, it just crashes, and no video goes anywhere, it doesn't even get stored, like, so I can't even record local gameplay. The only way you can apparently stream this game is if you have an external capture card that feeds back into your computer, and I don't have a video card, or a capture card, that does more than 30 FPS. I have an older Elgato HD, so it can stream in 1080, but it caps out at 30 FPS because it's like a 5-year-old capture card at this point. So that has been very disappointing, but Sarah's picked it up and he's playing and having fun.
I think right now Sarah and Rahata and Siam are all playing together back there.
And
Vash has picked it up, Jeddar's picked it up. Like,
Tesser's picked it up.
Humble Bundle has gotten it spread far and wide.
Well, it's $12.
Yeah.
For a game that was $60 at launch. And yeah, there's like two mini expansions that are like a total of $40 if you get them, but that's in-game shit that we don't have to worry about for a while.
So why is it so hard to capture? Like, did they do that on purpose?
They did it
purpose?
Intentionally.
Why?
I don't know. Like, there's some game, like, I could see it if they had, like, a restriction in place that was like, you can't stream the story mode and spoil it for people ahead of the game's release. But the game's been out a while. Games come out with this kind of restriction all the damn time.
Like, but do they typically go back and remove it later?
Well, they have like streaming guidelines for people to get it pre-release. Like BlazBlue Cross Tag Battle, which is a crossover fighting game that comes out here this next week or so. There is just a blanket restriction on streaming any of the story mode on anything.
Mm-hmm.
You can do versus matches, you can do versus stuff online, but you absolutely cannot 100% do any story mode stuff, or they will copyright strike your channel. It was like that with Persona 5 as well, where if you streamed past a certain date in the game, because the game goes sequentially by days over the course of, like, I think a year, they would, like, copyright strike you.
Because they don't want the ending or plot points getting out.
And so, like, it's just weird to see that they never changed that. So I actually like deleted it, and then Tesser was like, well, I'm gonna download it and play it. I'm like, I've been looking for a game to play with him because we both were super big in WoW. We played a lot of Minecraft. Like, playing video games together is kind of like how we interact and hang out a lot.
Mm-hmm.
So we're like trying to find something that we both play, and Destiny 2, now that Jeddar, Rahata, etc., Sarah are playing it, we could probably get added to his clan or whatever and run around and play together.
Mm-hmm.
So it's sort of, it's an MMO looter shooter, but it's not a monthly fee, so that's cool.
Mm-hmm.
I know I put a shitload of time into Borderlands and whatnot, so it's been fun so far. The music is really, really good. By the time you hear this, I don't know if you can get the June bundle anymore, because I think you have to like purchase it on faith. Like, they tell you one big title that you get that month, and then you get like a handful more at the start of the month.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm interested to see what'll show up in my inbox tomorrow. It's like, these are the other bundle, other games in the bundle. and it might be something cool, or it might just be like, eh, whatever. But it was only $12, so I don't feel too bad regardless.
You got Destiny 2 and whatever else is just...
Yeah, pretty much.
Do you have the other game in that series, Destiny's Child?
Huh?
No, though, I have to say, it took quite a turn.
The Beyonce DLC. It was Beyonce that was in Destiny's Child,
I believe,
right?
So.
I have a bad memory for... if I haven't mentioned it before, Janelle Monáe's new album is awesome.
Yep, Sarah's bought it. We've been listening to it a lot.
Isn't it great?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it's so good. By Janelle Monáe's new album. So
you can really, when I listen to it, it's like, and you look at some of the credits, like, yeah, I can definitely hear the Prince influence in this one.
And the Bowie influence. Mm-hmm. And yeah. Which I think is really cool. Yeah, her new album is called Dirty Computer. And there is a, on her YouTube channel, which Savern will link in the show notes. There is like a 45 minute long video that it's like a little mini movie where like it basically sets up the world and the backstory behind the Dirty Computer concept, and it's intercut with all the official music videos that she's done for this album.
Mm-hmm.
So
and they're all pretty fantastic.
Yeah they are. So that's definitely worth checking out.
So have you sat and watched the full thing now? Because you didn't, I don't think last week or so you had. Or was it the week before?
Oh, of her videos? Yeah, oh yeah. Yeah, I watched the whole thing. Yeah. That's right. Weren't you talking about a different one? You were talking about for Arc Android, right?
No, I was talking about the one for Dirty Computer.
Okay, yeah. I've watched the one for Dirty Computer. And I need to go back and watch some of her older videos as well, so...
Okay.
I've been playing. There was a whole evening where just trying to set up how to figure out how to share Steam games with me. We finally figured it out. And so Sarah shared out his Stardew Valley with me, and I've been playing that.
Have you added like the furry mod yet?
I didn't know there was one.
That's the only way Tyrion has been playing it. Like, he didn't care at all about like the characters and relationships until they're all furry. And now he's like, his character is like trying to pick up the cute wolf guy that works in the bar or something like that.
Yeah, it's like, oh, well, now I can relate to these characters a lot better because they're furries.
Right.
Well, I've just been playing it as it comes. That's funny, though. I did not know there was a mod.
Poke Tyrion about it and get the mod. Or you know, Savern could poke Tyrion and get the link to the mod and put that in the show notes.
Yeah. The show notes are gonna be like their own readme file today. It's like we're gonna exceed the length that'll show up on iTunes. Just be like, what's all in the show notes? Well, we'll figure it out.
Make a separate Tumblr post to our Tumblr.
All the bullshit we talked about this week.
Yeah.
So,
which you can find at southpawscast.tumblr.com, which Savern will put in the show notes.
Yes. So we do need to probably shift towards the couple emails we got this week because it is
late.
Well, you know what? Instead of reading them, you could post them in the show notes.
They're both short, so.
Oh, fine. Well, they'll definitely fit then, right?
No fuzz. So.
Okay.
You can go to our aforementioned Tumblr, southpawscast.tumblr.com, and send us in on questions, or you can email us at southpawscast@gmail.com. The first bit is actually a follow-up, a ongoing conversation we've had in the last little bit about certain words and use in relation to trans folks and their identity. This is feedback from Hashna Finnick, who actually wrote me a nice comment about they had just listened to episode 383. So, this is her comment. So, I just listened to Southpaw's episode 383, Ham Gundam, and at the end of the episode, you were talking about calling trans people C-boys or D-girls, and the general consensus within the trans community is that it would be rude to just call a trans person that. I hate being stuck with having a penis, but I'm years away from SRS. But, if the trans person calls themselves that, then it would be okay to ask if they're cool with it. If they don't call themselves that, then I wouldn't risk it. The main issue we have is that a surprising large amount of people don't know about dysphoria and think all trans people are into it sexually, which causes some people to treat us like we're nothing more than sex objects to be hunted. We're fine if you have a trans fetish, as long as you know and respect that most of us don't want to be just sex objects. Also, I just wanted to say I love the show. I've listened to every episode that's on the Apple Podcast app, and that I would be more than willing to be referenced if you have any more questions. So that was good and valuable feedback, because we're trying to be, you know, we're trying to pay attention and, you know, be considerate, and it's great to hear that this is how people feel, like actual people that in that community deal with that stuff. So it's like, cool. Also, we did get feedback on the TV show stuff. One of you wants to hit the email in the inbox.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I'll go ahead and take this one if you want.
Sure.
Okay. So the title is The Odd World of Television. Sorry for the length. How many of us have heard that before?
Mm-hmm.
We'll answer that question off air, and Savern will put the answer in the show notes. After listening to the most recent episode on the goings-on with show canceling or changes to TV shows, I thought I would bring some information from someone who works at a TV station. Oh, cool. As to the Brooklyn 99 going to NBC, this is due to the fact that it was cheap for the network to bring it to NBC as its sister company, Universal, all of which is owned by Comcast, is the production company. So this has just made it easier and cheaper than having it licensed out as Fox did when it was airing the show. This is the same reason that Fox is bringing back Last Man Standing, since it was produced under the Fox Broadcasting Group. You would be surprised how often this happens. Many networks and subsidiary often do cross-promotion. This is what happens with CW and CBS, a joint venture, and this is why the DC Universe sometimes will show up CBS, or how Supergirl started there and then moved to the CW. Another example is how on Fox Network they will promote shows that are airing on FX or FXX. As to why this all happened all about the same time is what is called the upfronts, where networks show off shows that air in the fall and show off network numbers. Okay, this is a lot to process, but if there are any other TV-related items I can answer, I will try and respond. Your TV watching as well as working at Furry Running Cat. P.S. I am sorry if there were any misspellings or English flaws. I did as Fuzz mentioned some time ago and read over what I wrote before sending it. Thank you guys for all the years of podcasting.
Oh, that's neat. I didn't know Running Cat worked at a TV station.
Neither did I. That's cool. Yeah. And yeah, the email seemed fine.
It was really good.
Any stumbling over anything was entirely my fault. Your grammar was great. So thank you.
Cool. So we should wrap this up because we are now at, well, an hour 40 before I trim it down.
And we did get a Patreon comment suggesting that we watch Stargate for one of our movie time discussions.
Like the movie? Sure.
Yeah, yeah. I'm assuming, yeah.
Which
I got it.
Have you seen the original?
I have not. Actually, Panther and I were going to sit down and watch it with a friend of his, and they had to cancel, so we ended up watching Expanse instead. So it's on the list.
I downloaded a copy to kind of prepare Sarah for the TV show, so I got it.
All right, well, that'll be a future Fox and Wolf and maybe Chakat movie time. So we'll keep that in mind. All right, so thank you guys for listening, and on that note, good night.
Yeah, big books.